Well, how many of you came Wednesday night? I taught on change, and I got me a brand new pair of leather tennis shoes. And these happen to be 11Ds. And for those of you who were here, not 9.5s, I appreciate it. And I believe I'm right on saying this because it has it on the top. This came from the Brownwood Victory Life campus. So anybody from the Brownwood Victory Life campus, thank you. So this has been an awesome time. I've enjoyed being here. I appreciate the excellence that I feel in the church. Thank you, Caleb. I appreciate the excellence that I feel in the church and the leadership. And I just want to say, echo what Pastor Dwayne has said several times up here about that what's refreshing being here is I can see and feel the honor that is here of the old wineskins, and because it took the people building the foundations and basically I call it digging a church out of the ground, so to speak, many, many years ago in the double wide. And then also, but the embrace that I feel here of the new wineskin is absolutely amazing with Jacob and his leadership. And so this place feels safe to me. And what I mean by that is spiritually safe. And you may not know how big a deal that is, but in this day and age, to have a home church like this, that's this safe, this solid, and with the outstanding teaching you guys have, it's I can feel it, and I mean that. Now, I call him Big Andrew. Big Andrew goes a lot more places than I do. I don't get to go out and get out as much anymore just because of the kind of schedule I have. But it's really incredible, Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Jacob, what we feel here. Now, Pastor Jacob asked me if I would teach on wealth building. So today, I'm just going to teach some really practical stuff quickly. I'm going to use PowerPoints. So this is not like what I would call a preaching message. It's just some things. I have a book called Money Mastery. And I'm not just promoting the book right now. I'm just letting you see if the PowerPoint. Can we go ahead and put the PowerPoint up? Y'all let me know when it's up. Is it up? Okay. No, it's not up. Is it up? So Money Mastery, we call it making sense of making money for making a difference. So today, I'm just going to talk about a few things that are in here, really, really, really practical stuff, okay, just like on wealth building itself. But this morning, I want to give away a book I haven't given away. This is called Leadership Mastery. It's a book I published, the publisher published, Harrison House, several years ago. So how many, do I have some pastors in here today? Actual pastors, campus pastors that I have? Okay, right there. So give this to one of those campus pastors right there, Leadership Mastery. All right, well, this morning, let's get started. I'm going to talk about money mastery for a little bit today, really practical. I hope I have a chance to get to the whiteboard. We'll just kind of see how this flows. We've got 50 minutes, so let's go. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. I'm going to read this from the Message Bible on what you know of as the parable of the talents. But I'm going to go ahead to save time. I'm going to read it straight from the actual Message Bible. Matthew 25, verse 14, Message Bible says, "It's also like a man going on an extended journey, trip, and he called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, and to a third one $1,000. And I have it up here in red. It says depending on their ability. So I mentioned this the other night when I was praying for the Marketplace people on Wednesday night. The way this works and all these things work is that God didn't just sovereignly give the five talents or the two talents. He gave it to them depending on their ability. So let me say it this way. There's a part that God plays. There's a part you play. So if we understand that in the parable of the talents, then the Bible says, and he left, and right off the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the single thousand, dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. And after a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. And his master commended him, 'Good work, you did your job well. From now on, be my partner.' And the servant with the $2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment. And his master commended him, 'Good work, you did your job well. From now on,' he said, 'be my partner.' the servant given 1,000 said, Master, now I'm skipping a couple of verses here because you remember, as I get ready to read this, you remember the master came and that we just read, he asked for an accounting. And we know the one with the 5 turned it into 5 more. We know the one with the 2 turned it into 2 more. But we know that the one with the 1 talent, the Bible says he dug a hole, right? And he placed it where it was secure. So now we pick up reading the servant given 1,000 as we start here. It said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. Now let me just say this. This is what the servant said to the master, or what we call the steward said to the master. And notice the description that the steward gave of the master. Just notice the description. He said, you have high standards, you hate careless ways, you demand the best, and you make no allowances for error. You know what I would say to you, if you're going to have somebody handle your money, that's what this is about. If you're going to have somebody handle your money, that's a very good description you would want of somebody handling your money. Are you listening to me? It's not that he's not being unfair. He's given a description. I mean, let me tell you right now, if you had a deposit at the bank, some people whose checking account would be off by 10 cents, they would be at the bank asking the bank, what happened? Where's my dime? Right? Or if there's a fee they didn't know. Yet in other things, it's amazing how we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Or I call it, we major in minor things. Is this going over okay? Is it too strong? Y'all okay today? All right. So he says, the master, after this guy said this, he said, I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Notice the word secured. Here it is, safe and sound down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, then why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with bankers, where I at least would have gotten a little interest. And I love this next verse here in the Message Bible. It says, take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most. Who did what? Risked the most. And we're going to talk about that in the session tomorrow, what it means to risk. Today we're going to give you just some basics, but tomorrow I'll talk about what it means to risk, what it does not mean to risk. To the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb, throw him into outer darkness. Now, I'll just say this so I can move on. This servant with the 1 talent here, he needed to give to God a new wineskin. The master came and trusted him and gave him a shot, gave him a chance. And what he did was he took the safe and secure route. Now, today as I share a couple of things as we get going, I just want to kind of show you where the church has been. I'm going to talk on wealth building, and I'm going to give you what I call the XXX factor that I have in my book on the Money Mastery, also in the book on financial freedom. And it's kind of the framework of what the Lord showed me on how you view wealth, how you go from zero, right? Literally from zero to hero, and we'll talk about hero later, but how you do that is a big deal. But let me show you kind of where the church has been, in my opinion. Let me see what's up there. So most Christians, if we start here at the bottom, most Christians, we live paycheck to paycheck and job to job. And that's kind of whenever we stand up, like Andrew last night. Big Andrew did a phenomenal job speaking prophetically into the life of this church on prosperity. And I mean, if you didn't hear that, I mean, I felt it. I just didn't hear the words. I felt it. The anointing that was on that to break stuff off of people was powerful. But most Christians live paycheck to paycheck and job to job. Now, I'm not sharing that today to be critical. I just want to show you where we are, generally speaking. And then if we go to a really good church, they teach on prosperity. And so if we get it in a church with word, that's what Big Andrew did last night, was teaching on prosperity. And then, man, if you really are cooking with grease, then you go to a church that's teaching Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey on personal budgeting and finance. And by the way, the first two, having a revelation on prosperity in the word, is really important. You got to have a foundation of the word. So I'm not in any way diminishing that. And most people don't have it. And it is their thinking that keeps them from moving forward. But then if we're really cooking with grease, I had a young couple. I don't know if they're here this morning. I think they were. I thought they told me they were from Sherman. They came up to me at the end of the service last night. And matter of fact, I was her pastor. Y'all in here today? Anybody? I was her pastor. I'm only 39. She's 51, and she told me she was 7 when she was at the church I pastored back in those days. And I said, that's impossible because I'm only 39. I don't know how that's going to work. But anyway, they were just telling me that they had just finished here a while back and had followed Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. And they said to me, standing there, I'm not putting words in their mouth. They said to me, we'd like to know what's next. What's after getting out of debt, right? So listen, getting out of debt will take care of you, but what are you going to do to take care of somebody else? You understand? So I'm not diminishing getting out of debt. You definitely need to do that. And I've got all that teaching in there. But then if we're really cooking with grease, we go to leadership. Yeah. And we teach on leadership in the local churches. And now, man, we're flying because we're teaching on leadership. But the truth is most places we go aren't really teaching us on entrepreneurship, investing, and then what I call making a kingdom impact where city and nation transformation happens. So in the body of Christ, now the next triangle I'm going to show you is not all connected directly to the body of Christ as it comes up. But remember, it says, according to their abilities, each man, one servant received 5, second servant received 2, and the third servant received 1. Based on what? Based on their abilities. So if you look at this, really, 5 talent people, I believe, are up here at the top. They know how to invest money. They know how to invest money and make a kingdom impact. That's kind of related to the third X that I'll talk about a little bit this morning. And then if we, and remember the statement we make down here, money's attracted, not pursued. Most people, the reason you have to work on your thinking, like Andrew was talking about last night, is because you have to realize it's, when we talk about money's attracted, that you have to work on yourself and you become, for example, like a magnet that brings those things to yourself. And I'll talk about that probably tomorrow a little more. Now, when we look at that, I say this jokingly, Brother Copeland was the first one I ever heard really teach on prosperity. And then you got Dave Ramsey, you got John Maxwell teaching on leadership. Then you got Kiyosaki that was teaching on entrepreneurship and investing. But you got Billy Uphart up here talking about investing, kingdom impact, and city and nation transformation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the real challenge is, I'm glad you laughed. I appreciate that. So the real challenge is, and it was for me too, how do we really understand wealth building? How do we really see it? It's almost like, you know, we see one person and they've kind of made some money over here, and we see another person and they've kind of done it this way here, and nobody has what I call, does it seem, a true 30,000 foot view of no matter what area you go into, there's certain directions and certain things you follow regardless of what kind of business industry you're in when we're talking about wealth building. So I like to use the elephant as an example. So what happens when we're talking about perspective now, when we talk about this, what kind of perspective would somebody have when it comes to wealth building? So what happens is if you and I are sitting down talking and you come up to me and you say to me, we're just sitting down talking or having a cup of coffee, and you say, Billy, can you explain wealth building to me? And I start talking to you and I just start sharing things. Well, when I'm talking to you, I'm talking from a certain perspective. Now, you're listening from a certain perspective. So what happens is a lot of times we use the word wealth, so we're going to act like the wealth and wealth building is the whole elephant. But what happens is while I am talking to you at that moment, I may be taking a hold of holding on to the trunk of the elephant, and I'm describing wealth as a hose, trunk, hose. You may be listening, and you're holding on to the tail of the elephant. So what you're hearing is an elephant is a rope. And then somebody else comes and joins us for coffee. We're sitting down, right? And I'm still talking, holding on to the hose. And they're listening and they're touching the side of the elephant and they think the elephant's a wall. So what I want to try to do this morning is go through some steps that will help you today see the whole elephant. And hopefully by God's grace today, there'll be revelation that comes where you can see the whole elephant, but then at the same time, be able to take the steps that you need to move forward to understand how you move forward financially in your life and how you build wealth. And let me say this, getting out of debt is highly important, but getting out of debt is the elementary beginning. And let me say this to you. Most people that have built big wealth did not do it by getting out of debt. I knew that'd go over really good. I mean, when Dave Ramsey does his call-in show, the statistics have shown that the highest person at this point that I know of that's ever called in to Ramsey and said, I followed your plan and I built wealth, I got financially in. I'm not criticizing Ramsey. Thank God for his teaching. I'm letting you kind of give you some perspective. The biggest wealth that anybody has ever called in and said they have created by his teaching on getting out of debt, one guy called in, a man called in, he had reached $3.5 million in net worth. Now, that's impressive, $3.5 million, but $3.5 million won't change the world. Now, $100 billion will start, and I need some young people around the world and some young people in Durant, Oklahoma, maybe even some folks my age, 39, that'll start listening and hearing what we're saying, because if we're going to make an impact for the kingdom of God in the earth and we're going to see the church invade the seven mountains, money is involved in every mountain. And if we're going to see the nations turned and get rid of this woke culture junk that we keep seeing, I'm telling you now, money operates in all seven of the mountains, and it takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money to get things done. And so if we don't change our thinking and start seeing wealth from a 30,000 point view, it'll come through just like it does to lottery winners, and it comes in and goes straight out of our hands, and we don't know what went on. We have no, what happened? And all of a sudden, people's lives are ruined because they don't understand how money works and wealth is built. So today, as we talk about this, I want you to start seeing what I call wealth building from a 30,000 foot view, where you're seeing the whole thing. But at the same time, we're gonna come down to ground level as we do this today. And I got to hurry here to get all this in. But so this is something just to get us started. This is only the getting started part. And everything I'm going to show you this morning in this session is totally getting started. So this is what I call, there's three kinds of money you encounter in your life. The first one is what I call level one, and it's money that you work for. And the purpose of it, you know, you want to make sure you're bringing your tithes and offerings for that. But what many Christians and people in the body of Christ don't realize is that if you have a job, and by the way, thank God if you do have a job, but money that you work for, that's where you really begin. It's not about buying toys at level one. It's about learning how to build assets, and it's also obviously you got to be able to pay your rent and groceries out of that. And typically, money that you work for is job type, and so meaning that money comes, you work, you get paid. It's level one is money you work for, and the category is usually you're an employee. It means you work somewhere, you get a paycheck. You're self-employed, or somebody that's self-employed and they don't have systems in their business, they would still be in level one. It's what we call non-leveraged income. Level two is what we call money that works for you. And the real purpose of money that works for you, again, you still pay, bring your tithe and offering, but this is money that when we talk about money that works for you, it's money that you can live off of that's coming into your life. By the way, I'm going to give you another perspective of this, so just let these initial concepts come to you first. Holy Spirit's the teacher, he'll help you, but then I'm going to break it down for you further. But this is a place, level two is where you build assets, and the type of income is asset income. Now, most people, let me just be plain and direct this morning because of I don't have time to break it all down. So let me just say this. Most people in the church today live at level one, period, end of story. Most people in the body of Christ today live at level one. Now, there's nothing wrong. The Bible's very plain. You don't work, you don't get paid. So there's nothing wrong with working. We need people to learn how to work. But what I'm trying to show you is you got to have a 30,000-foot view of wealth building. And regardless of what you get paid in your job, is that you work and you get paid, right? Level one income is certainly not the best place to be when it comes to building wealth. Now, it helps you get started building wealth, and young people getting started, get a job, learn to save, put stuff aside, but you got to grow in that. This next level is money that works for you, and it's what I call asset income. It's money that starts paying you in the process. And so when you look at that, you become at this level what we call a business owner or an investor, and this is money that you manage. You don't work for it. So for example, and I'll break this down here a little bit later, but if you have if you have one house and you rent it, you have to manage that house in order to rent it, but the positive cash flow that comes off of that house in rent would be considered, for example, that would be considered money that works for you because you now have an asset that's actually paying you. Now, the reason I use real estate as an illustration, because I'm going to use some other things here in a minute, but the reason I use real estate as an illustration is most people, when it comes to asset building, can understand real estate, and the reason they can is because most people try to buy their own home, or you got to have somewhere to live, even if you're renting. So you understand, you have some frame of reference. But if I was to get up here and talk about oil and gas leases, or if I was to talk about intellectual property and being paid from intellectual property today, I'll show those to you here in a little bit. But if I was to be paid that or talk about that, most of you would not relate. You say, I couldn't do that. Intellectual property, I'm never going to write a book or never going to write a song. Right? Or I'm not going to go out and drill oil wells, or I'm not going to go out and participate with somebody that drills oil wells. But most people encounter real estate, so they deal with real estate. So an example would be a piece of real estate, one house. We'll just take one house. And one house that pays you, let's say, $300 a month in positive cash flow. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of money until you get 30 of them. And now, all of a sudden, are you ready for this? 30 houses paying you $300 a month is $108,000 a year tax-free. Here, let me talk to the choir. I think I'll get a better response from the choir. Let's try it one more time. 30 houses paying $300 a month in positive cash flow will give you $100,000 a year tax-free. Now, if I got any CPAs, I know it's tax deferred, just so you know I know that. And just so you know that I know, when I get to the end, I'm going to 1031 out of those into a charitable remainder trust, and then I'll pay myself from the trust. But for most people, practically speaking, that's $100,000 a year tax-free. Now, I got any more CPAs in here that say, well, it's not automatic. No, you have to get your real estate professional designation. But when you have 30 houses, that's really, really easy to do. So that's just a simple illustration. It's not magic. But I'm trying to show you that really when we start looking at this, what we're looking at trying to create here, when you start thinking about it, is fruit versus vegetables. What we're really trying to do here is create an apple tree so that when we talk about this level two money, what we're trying to do is create an apple tree so that we go pick the apples off the tree. We're eating the apples, and as we eat the apples, the tree's still growing and producing apples. But if I go get a head of broccoli, I got to kill the broccoli in order to eat. I got to cut it off. But every year, as long as I spray my trees and water my trees and protect my trees, I can go every year and pick the apples, and there's enough to take care of me. But if you follow Andrew's teaching last night, it's very selfish if all of my thinking of is just myself. So one of the things you want to do is you want more than one tree. Now you got one tree can take care of you, right? Two trees will help you build wealth. And then if you really want to see the world change, you start building an orchard of trees that you manage at level two, and you're eating the apples. You can only eat so many apples. You can only sell so many apples. What are you going to do with the rest of them? You're going to have to sell them, right? And then what are you going to do with the money? That's money you can give into the kingdom. We'll talk about giving tomorrow. But there's things that you can do in order to be able to have an impact for the kingdom of God, because you now have more wealth than you need. You have more apples than you can eat yourself. Can you understand that? Is that simple enough for you? So as we talk about that, and I go back here, this is level two that we just were talking about. Those apple trees represent level two. Now, what's been interesting is since I have been in this role, actually right before the role that I took as CEO of Andrew Walton Ministries, I've been teaching in the business school at Karis Bible College since 2011, 2012. In addition to that, I've been doing the Kingdom Business Summits, among other things that we do in that process, and I've met a lot of people. And one thing that's happening right now that's very unique, and this is really interesting, is I can't tell you the number of significant partners to Andrew Womack Ministries who call me, reach out to me, knowing that I'm CEO, and I am seeing, I haven't told Big Andrew this yet, but I have seen massive transfers of wealth that have happened in the last 3 or 4 years of people that are my age, some of them a little younger, some of them a little older. Remember, I'm 39. No, really, they're in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, where many of them are inheriting wealth. I had one who just came to me, right, Caleb, recently. They just sold a farm, or selling the farm, but it's $20 million cash. So what do you do with $20 million cash? And they're asking me, Billy, what do I do with $20 million cash? Well, they want to give to Andrew Womack Ministries, right? Just the tithe on that's $2 million. How many of you know you can believe God for the rest if you got $2 million? Now, trying to get it. That's where level three comes in, because level three is you have enough money, you get money that works without you. You don't even have to manage it. You have so much, somebody else manages it. It's really where real philanthropy happens. There's multiple assets, we're growing wealth, true city and nation transformation can start happening. By the way, I mentioned Tricord. I'm not mentioning or meaning I'm not trying to promote it now. I'm just letting you know the Lord showed me how to take what I call transactional money and use it for transformational purposes. And so when you get to level three, you have excess money, and it's true absentee asset income. And your category at that point is you're strictly an investor. Now, let's talk about you. Is everybody okay? I'm trying to give you $30,000, but I'm going to show you how it works, all right? Can I show you how it works now? So here's how that works. So this is what the Lord gave me several years ago, is what we call the triple X factor. And so I'll let you see that. Just right now, I'm just letting you see it, if this is the first time you've ever seen it. But there's a couple of things about this particular diagram that I want to show you, and I don't think, this is not the big laser, right? Here's the big laser right here. So if you look up here, now I think, can most people see that screen over there? So if you look here, I could use my cursor, but I've found that sometimes, anyway, it doesn't work sometimes as well. So, well, this is not working either. Well, I'm going to use my cursor. So this horizontal line down here, you see these little dashes? This represents 1 month. So every little dash you see across here, and we're going to pretend, I don't know, I haven't counted on this slide, so I don't know, but maybe you'll get 60 dashes that are down here. That'll represent 60 months, 5 years. Is that good? Then over here, just for most of you in the room, this would be what we call your monthly income and your monthly expenses, and it goes from zero to $10,000. Okay, so that's what we've got. We've got this graph. Everybody see that? And then we got dots. Now, where did this graph come from? This is something that Becky and I did for years, and then later, for those who have higher levels of wealth, I may get to it today. I don't think I will because of time. But on the third X, we're really talking about how you can make a huge difference, and so in your life. But typically, when we start looking at this, just in your mind, imagine this graph, and you have this. Some of you are old enough to remember this. You have this big white poster board that's on the wall, and you put the income and, you know, the zero to 10,000K on the verticals, and down here you put the months, you mark it, and this is August of 2022, so let's just say you started in August of 2022. The pink dots, this is only an illustration, But the pink dots illustrate your expenses, and the black dots illustrate your income. This is your expenses. So let's say you took Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, or I have in both of the books here, what we call the debt snowball. We give you 9 steps how to get out of debt, including your mortgage, in 5 to 7 years. It's all in the books. And let's just say you start reducing your expenses. I mean, how can people in America spend more money than they're bringing in every month? How can they do that? It's called credit cards. It's called consumer debt. So people can actually spend more than they bring in with what we have today in America. You know, most developing nations do not have consumer debt. You can't get credit. But in America, credit's easy to get, and so people will walk into a Best Buy. This is what's amazing to me. They'll walk into a Best Buy and buy an 80-inch or 100-inch flat-screen TV that the moment they walk out, even with Facebook Marketplace, is worth half of what they paid for it. But if I ask them to go buy a house that increases in value and do their first investment property, they feel it's a whole lot more risky than going buying that flat-screen TV. So the dots represent you standing at a poster board. Literally, you're standing there in your house, in your office or your bedroom or your kitchen, and this is your income and expenses. And down here, this is the timeline. I'm not printing very well, sorry. The timeline. And so you say, okay, I bring in, I haven't looked at Oklahoma. I didn't do that before you got here, but let's just say the household, Jake, do you know what the household median income in Durant is? Anybody know? How much? $35,000. So let's just say it's $35,000. So if you divided $35,000, right, just to keep it even, that's about $3,000 a month. So we're going to say this is $3,000 a month. But let's say somebody's got credit cards, and instead of spending $3,000 a month, they're spending, say, $3,400 a month because they can spend more than they're bringing in on their job. And so what would happen is if you start in August of 2022, you'd mark your income. Oh, my income is $3,000, but because I bought a chair on credit at the furniture store, I spent this month $3,400. Everybody with me? So what happens is each month you start marking your income. And the reason that this is coming down, because we're going to say you read Billy's Money Mastery, and it's starting your expenses, you start paying off your debt, and you realize, ladies and gentlemen, you don't take time to the marketplace, you take value. Always remember, you don't get paid for time, you get paid for value. So we're going to say you increase your value in the marketplace, you start making more, and so your salary goes up, your expenses go down, and you have reached the first X. Now here's the sad truth. The good truth is we all need to do that. The sad truth is those who do that in the body of Christ, that's where they stop. And every time I talk to people in any kind of conference I'm in, they come up to me and they say, what's next? What's next, Billy? Well, what's next is taking, when this gap happens, I now have excess income. I have more money coming in than I do going out every month. So what do I do with it? I take this excess capital. For most of you, that'd just be putting money aside. But let me jump past putting money aside. I'm just going to act like every one of these green dots is a rental property I bought that's producing $300 a month or $500. And all of a sudden, I now have assets. That's just, and let's say I did it after 24 months down here, right here. Now, all of a sudden, my expenses... my expenses come across here like this. They kind of level out. And pretty soon, my income from assets exceeds my expenses. And right here, when I get there, I am debt free. I'm not only debt free here, but now I'm financially free. Here, I'm out of debt. Here, I have more money coming in. And the way I approached it was, when I first did this the very first time in my life, I continue to build wealth. But one of the things I did the very first time was, I just wanted to replace my income with asset income. So if I wanted to go to work, I could. If I didn't want to, I didn't have to. I'm trying to get some help in here today. Okay? Now, am I hurting anybody? I don't want to make sure nobody's being hurt. Now, so what happens is, the problem is, the body of Christ has stopped at the first X. Now, I'm not criticizing the first X, but if we're going to make an impact, we need to get to the second X. So that, let me just tell you this, at the second X, you at least personally can start, believe me, you can start pursuing the true values of life. It's at this point you get truly financially free. But here's what happened to me, ladies and gentlemen. I went and got on the couch. And I went and got on the couch, and when I went and got on the couch, I reached that. I had $180,000 a year in personal income. That's what I made from my first X. That's what I made at level one, was 100. That's what I made in those days. 180,000 a year. I include my whole thing, but that's what I made. I'm just being honest, telling you, okay? So I made 180,000 a year, and I told my accountant, I'm gonna make my investments until my investments are paying me more every month than what my salary's paying me. And I remember I was sitting in front of a Starbucks coffee shop, which my wife won't let me go in now, but back in the day before the whole woke thing happened, I'd go get what I called a man drink, right? I'd get a triple tall Americano. Yeah, that'll set you free right there, I'm telling you. And my accountant called me, who I still use today, and he said, Billy, you reached it. And he handled all my, he became full-time for me as I began to go that, you know, I got bigger than that. But as I got there, he started working for me more and more, and finally became full-time, had a full-time accountant. But he told me, he said, you actually replaced your income, because he did all my taxes and all my money. He said, you replaced your income. Now, here's what's cool about this. That's actually just my income. All these assets were also going up in value. And so I'm sitting on the couch, and Miss Becky comes in and says to me, if you don't get off the couch, I'm going to kill you. She said, you've been on the couch. True story, guys. It's a true story. I don't have my... And she said, if you don't get off the couch... Let me just tell you, she's from South Texas, and she knows how to shoot. You already heard the orange juice can. Well, that's threatening enough, just an orange juice can. But she came in one day. I remember I had a home. I had a really nice place in Keystone. I had three places in Keystone, but I had this really nice place in Keystone, Colorado, that we would go live, you know, during the summers, hot, so we'd go live there. And then I had a home on Lake Woodlands in Woodlands, Texas, if some of you know about the Houston area up there in Woodlands. And so I had a home there. I had another place too. Those were personal houses that I used. And so she told me, she came into Woodlands and she told me, she said, if you don't get off the couch, how was it you said it exactly?
I said there was too much in
me. Too much in me.
That you need to give out. That just didn't want to do that. You might as well go on to heaven.
Might as well go on to heaven, yeah. My God, y'all better pray for me. I want y'all to put Billy on your intercessory prayer list here at the church. Make sure you pray for Billy and Becky that I stay alive in whatever I'm doing. So what happened was, I had got to this place, and this is really true, and Dwayne, I hate to admit this, but it's really true, and don't let Big Andrew hear this, but I did not want to preach or teach. That's the truth now, I'm not kidding. I wasn't looking for a place to preach, I can assure you. I wasn't looking for somewhere to go. I didn't want to help anybody. I didn't want to do anything. I had friends who called me and said, huh?
That was my point.
That was your point, yeah. And so that's really true. I mean, I got to that point in my life, and I said, just leave me alone. And I own some of you don't know this, but I also, in addition to real estate, I own some Great Clips hair salons. Y'all know what those are here? Do y'all have those here? So I own some Great Clips hair salons as an investment. And so I had some other stuff. So anyway, I didn't want to have to do anything. I didn't have to do anything, right? And so when she came in and told me that day, it stirred me up. And first of all, I thought, well, I do want to live. You know, staying alive is a good thing. Praise the Lord. And so as this continued to increase with more assets, what happened was when she came in, the Lord began to show me how shallow and selfish that I was thinking, that I wasn't plugging into His purpose, to His plan, what He was trying to help me understand to do. And so He began to reveal to me what I call the third X. And I realized, and this is an awesome place to be, this is when you actually have more money coming in than what I call your target living allowance is right here. And now you can actually take the excess capital and you can start giving 100% of it away. Here you're giving tithes and offerings. Here you're giving tithes and offerings. But here you're giving away 100% over and above. And you're also taking a few of these assets you have and you're putting them in this line. This is how I started Tricord Global. That's where the revelation of Tricord Global came from. And what I've seen happen is most of the time in the body of Christ, people will follow me, get the books. Well, we have a website called wealthbuilders.org and they'll go there and look and they follow the blogs, all the free stuff that's on it. They'll follow that because where they're wanting to get, some of them are wanting to get out of debt. Some of them are wanting to get to a place of being financially independent. But right now, I can tell you absolutely for sure, we have a lot of people who've been following us because they're past the second X. And they actually now want to start making a real impact and a real difference with the excess capital. They had a man come to us the other day. He didn't have the 20 million, but he had about 7 million. He told me, he said, I want to leave only a million to each one of my kids. That's all I'm going to leave. They're going to have to do the rest. And he said, I want to give at least a million to Andrew Womack Ministries. And I said, I could take the check, no problem. And then he said, Billy, what do I do with the rest? And so I talked to him about how to invest and what to do with that other money to keep it solid and secure. So the point that I'm bringing to you today, trying to get you to see, is you have to start having an understanding of where you're going in wealth building. So when we talk about taking the limits off and we talk about your imagination and start getting a new wineskin and getting your mind renewed, you have to understand what wealth building really looks like. Do you understand that? So sometimes the green dots can be a business that you have, but let me just say this. I don't want to try to get technical or anything, talking too technical, but let me just say this. When we talk about this level of income, we're really talking about this slide here. Examples of the green dots are basically rent from real estate, and don't worry about the also refi. I'm not going to be able to teach on all that in this trip. Profits from a business, the real truth for the accountants that are in the room and attorneys, it's really capital distributions from a business, dividends from stock, interest from bonds and CDs, royalties from songs and books, and royalties from oil, gas, or minerals. Now, I want to tell y'all this is true. I have income from every one of those categories. Now, here's what I want you to see. Not that I have income. I mean, I'm just letting you know that I try to practice what I preach. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. There are not 17,000 ways to build wealth. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me loud and clear. There's not 17,000 ways to build wealth. There's really less than 10. And the truth is you need to learn something. And I'll talk about that tomorrow morning on the Law of Wisdom. You need to learn something about at least two of them. Now, I don't care which two it is. That's whatever the Lord is between you and the Lord and what you learn. But you need to learn something about at least two. Now, you can passively invest, not actively invest, passively invest in real estate, in stocks, for example, and you can get financially free enough to take care of you and your four or five or six or eight. You can do that, but if you're going to have a kingdom impact, then you got to be willing to take it to a higher level and get a revelation of the third X so that we really begin to have an impact. And I'm going to tell you something. With this project big, I want you to hear me. I mean this. I'm saying this prophetically. With this project big, some of you are going to be able to get into a flow of supernatural acceleration because of your giving, and God's going to show you, bring what I call divine connections and kairos moments into your life that will supernaturally accelerate you to where you need to go or where He wants you to go. Now, you have to have a framework. You have to have an understanding. And for some of you, truthfully today, it's going to take, I think Pastor Jacob said inspiration, but then he said revelation. But if you're going to go from revelation to transformation, you've got to integrate this. So right here, I'm showing you the things you need to learn something about. Now, the bottom one, I actually have another thing we do now, is investing with wild animals. Exotic animals in Texas, you get a 91% write-off on the first year of all the money you put in, and it pays about a 12% annual return on those animals. It's all passive income. I've got some money going in there, and so I'm going to add those exotic animals onto this list. But there's not 17,000 ways. Now, we don't shoot those either, just so y'all know, because I know here we, you know, I'm a hunter too, so but we don't shoot them. It's preserving those animals and they're lying, but the government's got some good tax breaks on that. So the point of this is that you have to see and understand wealth building from a 30,000 foot view. And I want to make sure, let me get over here to one other little piece of this. What do I have up there? Where I show you kingdom building. And so what is exciting now, at least in our life, me and Becky, is we not only have the financial independence where you quit your job, you don't have to work, but kingdom building where we can take our time and really build for the kingdom of God and put our money and our finances and all of those things that we have toward that. So everybody, did y'all get something out of this today? Yes. Trying to keep it simple, trying to keep it straightforward. And Pastor Jacob, I'll turn it back to you.